For those who don't know about this test well drilled in the Arctic Refuge in 1986, Henry, remind us what it is and why it was such a big secret for so long.
Well, it's the only well that's ever been drilled within the area of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. And because it was all sort of proprietary, it was a private deal, the oil companies have kept the information confidential for years. They actually sued the state of Alaska at one point to keep the data confidential. And because it's the only, you know, the only actual hole in the ground that's been drilled in ANWR, it's considered to be valuable information. The times I've been to Alaska, it seems like everybody has something to say about, oh, you know, that kick well, like, you know, they drilled it 30 years ago, and nobody knows what it said. So it's a subject of much interest.
Yeah, many Alaska reporters, including myself, have just been fascinated by this secret for a while. It's just such a good mystery. Do you want to say anything more about what intrigued you about this story and why you decided to try to uncover the results?
You know, Steve Eder and I did a story a couple of months ago that looked at what's been going on with ANWR under the Trump administration. As you know, you're well aware, the administration has moved to open the area to oil and gas exploration after decades when it's been pretty much off limits. So in doing that story, we kept hearing, reports about the kick well and how that had provided some kind of clues, but nobody knew what the clues were. So it's always, it sort of piqued our interest. And then, after that story appeared, we started hearing sort of whispers about, you know, there might be ways to figure out what was in that well. And we kind of got directed to this court case that we ended up writing about in which the well was a subject.
And so you and your co-reporter, Steve Eder, found the answer in Cleveland, Ohio, of all places. So talk me through what led you there.
Well, again, it was this 1987 court case. At the time, BP owned, 45% of Standard Oil of Ohio, and they were looking to buy the rest of it. So the shareholders of SOHIO thought that the offer that BP was making for their shares was low. And they wondered if they were getting... And their lawyers in particular wondered if they were getting cheated. And one of the lawyers had realized, hey, BP had been involved in this drilling project up in ANWR, this kick well, and he wondered if in fact, you know, maybe they'd discovered some incredible reserves of oil and they were trying to essentially cheat SOHIO's shareholders. So he pursued it through the court with BP and eventually, BP agreed to let him depose a man who was one of their chief petroleum, actual engineer people. And that's where it was revealed, according to all accounts, that the well was not very encouraging. In fact, didn't have a big finding of huge reserves or whatever. And therefore, BP was not, in fact, cheating SOHIO.
And so that lawyer's name, that is Sidney B. Silverman, is that right?
That is Sid Silverman, yep.
And why do you think he decided to talk now?
Well, I mean, he told us, and we put it in our story, he felt, because of the what the Trump administration wants to do in the 1002 area, that, you know, this thing about the kick well should be part of the discussion, at least. And he knew the secret. He'd been quiet for 32 years, but he felt... You know, it was, I wouldn't say he said it was his patriotic duty, but he did feel very strongly that, you know, all the information about this area, or at least whatever information there is, should be on the table. So I think that was his motivation.
And so in your story, Mr. Silverman, he calls the well worthless, which is fascinating. But also it's my understanding that a single dud test well doesn't mean there's no oil to be found in the refuge, which you say in your story too. And so if that's the case, what should we take away from this revelation?
It's true. It's just one data point, and does not necessarily mean there's not oil somewhere in the refuge, significant oil, an economically recoverable amount of oil. The U.S. Geological Survey has done a couple of studies over the years and, has estimated anywhere from a billion or so barrels up to, I think, the highest estimate is 15 or 16 billion barrels, which is, you know, Prudhoe Bay size. Nobody really knows. There's still, you know, part of this whole Trump administration process involves a plan to do new seismic studies. And if that were to go ahead, environmentalists and others think that's not a good idea, but if that were to go ahead, that would provide, you know, a significant amount of information that might make people you know, might totally confirm that the Kickwell was sort of representative of the entire area, or that the Kickwell was not representative of the entire area, and in fact there are significant reserves there.
Yeah, I mean, given everything you said, I've been privy to a ton of speculation on whether there will be much industry interest in the Anwar lease sale when it happens. So what do and do you not think this story sheds light on in that sort of massive speculation that's happening right now?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, you know, one of the things in all of our reporting from Alaska has been, why aren't the oil companies more interested? At least from a public standpoint, they're not. Most of them are not making big statements that, like, oh, we can't wait to, you know, for the opportunity to explore up there, et cetera, et cetera. So you kind of wonder why they've been quiet, whether they know something or they knew something that we didn't know. I think there'll still be speculation simply because one well is not, you know, represented necessarily of the whole area. So how much effect this will have, I don't know. I think there's a lot of other factors involved. Oil companies may not, you know, even if there's plenty of oil, it would certainly not be the cheapest oil to drill for and get. There's plenty of cheap oil in the lower 48 these days, particularly with fracking. There might be some concern about reputation if an oil company sort of aggressively wants to go into the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, which a lot of people view as a very you know, a beautiful, wonderful, pristine landscape, one of the last huge remaining pristine landscapes in the United States. So there's a lot of factors why there's still a lot of speculation, and there will continue to be speculation.
All right. Henry Fountain is a reporter with The New York Times, and the story is called A Key to the Arctic's Oil Riches Lies Hidden in Ohio. It's on the New York Times website, and if you haven't seen it yet, it's recommended reading. Henry, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.